Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. How about 125? Y'all know this one? Away in a manger. We'll just sing one verse. Away in a manger. 125. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the skies look down where he lay. The asleep on the hay. It's good I picked the right one there. Both of them, most right one right across the page. It'd have been the wrong one. How about that? And I'm noted for doing that too. How about number 123, Silent Night? Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Let's sing the last verse of that, and that'll be the last one, okay? Number four. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light with the angels. Thank you. You can be seated.
Thank you. Good job. That sounded great this morning. Yeah. Anyone have anything on your heart this morning or the message? Have your Bibles, you want to turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 1. Dan was teaching in the Sunday school class this morning. I told him, be careful, he's going to get all over my message. Luke chapter 1. I hope I can read. I want to read several verses to get the whole story, but the Lord's laid on my heart a message of good news in a dark time. And if you would stand with me, we'll start reading Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. There were in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, this lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." The angel answered and said unto him, "I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." The people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his menstruation was accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for a good message in a dark time. Father, we thank you that we still have that hope today. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you that you're mindful of man and you make a way. Lord, we thank you for this time of the year. God, we ask you to bless and guide. Add your blessings to the reading of the word. We ask you for the anointing upon the preacher boy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In the Old Testament, it talks about good news from a far country. Wanting to look at this time, and the Bible says here that it was in the days of Herod, but it had been 400 years since God's word had been proclaimed, since they had got anything spoken, the Lord had showed anything, moved on anybody. The last verses that was in the Old Testament was in Malachi chapter 4, and starting at verse 4, it says, "Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgment, Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So the last thing that was recorded in the Old Testament, as we see now in the New Testament come about, that the angel is telling them, here's the guy that you've been waiting for. Here is Elijah come. Here's the one that's coming with the message, the forerunner of Christ. And we see here that in this time, and it said in the days of Herod that he was a very, very wicked man. And from the historians, the Jewish historians, that we know in the book of Matthew that he had killed the children 2 years and under, trying to, worried about losing his throne. He had had 3 of his sons killed, 1 of his wives that they know of. One of the historians wrote that it was, you would be safer being one of Herod's pigs in the barn than you would be in one of his sons. Your chance of living was better being a pig than it was being his boy. And so we see that in the dark time, and Luke does a good job of wanting to draw a parallel between the evil and wickedness of Herod and the righteousness of Zacharias and Elizabeth. And he's wanting everybody to see the difference between these. And as we look in this morning, you know, God, a lot of times we mistake and we think silence is abandonment. We think that when God don't show up and God don't do what we think he should, I just spit a cough drop out somewhere. That's not good, is it? Starting out bad. We think if we're not getting something and we everything's not going our way, we think God's left us. And we think that he don't care. And we get in our pity parties, and you look at the nation of Israel, they've not heard from God in 400 years. Things are bad. You know, and we can look around the world today and we can complain and things look bad and things look bleak, and we say, when we may think, well, God's not doing a whole lot. See, God's working. He was working in that time. He had 400 years, but he set things in order, and the timing had to be perfect. In our time, and see, God's not run by the same clock we are. You know, of us, we've got 24 hours and we got to get so much done. It's going to get dark in a little bit. We got to get all this done before then. And the Bible said, what is it God said to Moses? He said, I am. I am. What a statement. I wish that I've studied that statement and I've tried to get into the depths of that statement. What a sovereign statement. He said, I am. I always have been, I am right now, and I always will be. I was in your yesterday, I'm in your today, I'm already in tomorrow. There's no difference in time, there's no days, there's no nothing. He is, I am. And as we see here that in this passage that it was bleak, but things was just right on time on God's schedule. Boy, I wish that we could look at his calendar. Hey, man, I'd like to adjust my calendar to his, but I can't see his, and I have to just accept his calendar by faith and mine be secondary. But I'm afraid I put mine first. And here Elizabeth and Zachariah had been praying a long time for children. But something to think about it, it's always in the dark times God has a remnant and a plan. He's always got a remnant. I heard Bob McCurry preach a message, and he said him and his daddy always dug stumps up, but he said, we said we got rid of stumps up, but God always leaves a stump. And I'm glad he leaves a stump. I'm glad that he's got a remnant. And as we see there, I want to hear in Luke, and I want a few names that we're going to hear in the next few weeks. Zacharias means Jehovah has remembered. And when it come out, starting in the New Testament, right off the bat, what do we hear? Is you hear Zacharias. And his name means God ain't forgot you. You may think he has. Things may look bad, but God's not forgot you. He knows who you are. Jehovah has remembered. And then with the name Elizabeth, it says, my God is an oath. You look in the Old Testament, what did he say? He said, I'm going to send you a Messiah. I'm going to send you a forerunner. Here in the first book of chapter Luke, it's exactly what he's done. If God says it, that settles it, and that's the way it's going to be. And some names we'll probably in the next, the name Simeon in chapter 2 means hearing. Anna means grace. See, God's at work even when he seems distant. I don't know why the Lord's just really laying this on me. Sometimes I've done it, and Zechariah, what I'd say they'd quit praying for a child. They was old now. They was up in the years. They'd prayed for a child, prayed for a child, prayed for a child, and God didn't give them one. He said, well, I'm sure the Bible don't say it, but I'm sure they've quit praying by now for a child. See, but God remembers. Whew. Ain't you glad of that? See, God knows. He's an oath. God, he is oath, and God is in control. God is in charge. And even when it's too late and the time of her childbearing had done and passed, God could still make her have a child. When Lazarus laid in the tomb 4 days, he still came alive. You know, and according to our time and our schedule and our calendars, we say God's late, God's not doing this, God's not worried about us, and God's not concerned. That's a lie out of the pits of hell. God, just because you don't get what you want when you want it, you know what that is? That's a spoiled brat. Amen. I know none of you ever did or got kids that did, but throw a temper tantrum. Lay on the floor and kick her feet. I think that's what we are as Christians lots of times. We're spoiled brats. God's been so good to us. Give us everything. You just take America, how blessed we are. And then you let one little thing go wrong. Amen. And we throw a fit. Bless God, I won't go back to church. I'll show him. Come on. And because we're spoiled. God's gracious to us and been good to us. As we see here in this passage, just because that he didn't give them what they wanted when they wanted didn't mean that he wasn't going to get what he had in store for them. See, their timing wouldn't have been right. But his is on time. Just so happened, Elizabeth had been pregnant 5 months when Mary finds out she's going to have baby Jesus. And they're cousins. Well, what a coincidence. See, in verses 8 through 10 of this passage, it talks about Zacharias, and he's executed the office, the priest office. And the Bible talks here about his course and his lots, and these are things that, if you go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 24, I think it is, and David had divided the priesthood up in 24 courses. And these were, and they said that in that time they could have been as high as 85,000 priests, but probably between 12 and 18,000. And if you take the low number, 12,000, and in this time, that means his court, the Abai court, course, had 500 priests in it. And out of that 500, well, you're talking about coincidence again, he's the one that chose the lot to be in the temple. And it fell to him to go in to the temple and burn incense before God. The incense were symbolic of the prayers of the people. And he would go in, and two attendants would go in with him, and one would take the ashes from the day before, the other would take the coals of that day, and one would take the ashes out, and he would back out and worship the Lord and back out and get out. The other one would take the coals in for this day, lay them on the altar, he would worship God, and then he would get out. And then Zacharias, or the one, the priest come in with the incense, would come in and lay the incense on the coals. And when he put the incense on the coals, then they said that it, for hours, that it would just steam up, just smoke up, and this was a sweet-smelling savor unto the nostrils of God. He had been chosen. See, a priest would probably just get this one time in their life. A great honor to be able to go before God and offer the incense before the Lord. The lot had fell on Zacharias. He'd been praying all these years for a child. He'd been praying, and finally he got to go in and be before, glory, hallelujah. He was in not the most holy place, but the Holy of Holies. It was just a curtain between him and the presence of God. And these incense and prayers would go over into the presence of God. He's the one that got to present those. Wow, what a blessing. And as we see that here, he had gone in before the Lord and was burning these incense. And verses 11 and 12, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right hand of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. You know, I kind of thought he might have said, you know, I ain't never done this before, but I don't never remember anybody saying he's an angel going to stand there. I think it's a little different. And he said he was scared to death. What was it? And we stayed in Sunday school this morning. Mary was scared to death. And you have an angel appear before you. No, you take these folks out, my angel, and now this and that. I'm telling you, we see an angel. Everybody in the Bible that's ever seen an angel was absolutely terrified. Absolutely scared to death. But I said all that, now that's the introduction. The message won't be as long as the introduction, probably. Can't promise you that. Won't notice the first words. There's some words that this the Lord really took three words, and I want to talk about here a few minutes. But after a long silence, after a long time of being like they've been forgotten, a long time in a dark world, a long time, and this could be someone's life. Never been in fellowship with God. Never had the Lord to enter into their life. But after a long silence, the first word that the angel said into Zacharias, you know what it is? fear not. God hadn't spoken over 400 years. And now he said, don't be afraid. 2019, as we're getting ready to go into 2020, I think the message is still loud and clear. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Bible said, don't fear man that can kill your body. But the more fear God that after he kills the body can send you to hell. Any fear that we have ought to be in respect and honor and reverence to God. But I tell you, the devil tries to fear to get us scared to death, to make us run, to make us win. He can get us terrified. We will not do God's will that he has in our life. The day that David stood before Goliath, the nation Israel was terrified and crouched down and absolutely scared to death and could not stand against the Philistines because they were crippled by fear. They saw a giant. There's more than one of them. And then they saw that big Philistine army, and they were absolutely terrified. But it took a little old redneck boy that liked to flip stones with the sling to come and look that giant in the eye. He said, you come to me with spears and stone, but I'm with spear and sword, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. See, when that giant in the morning next week is going to get in your face and say, you're weak, you're little, you're nothing, God don't care about you, and I'm going to run over you and do whatever I want to. It may not wait till the morning. And we get terrified and we get crippled and not able to do what God's got in mind for us to do. What we need is Popeye mentality. You'd say, you preacher, you finally lost it. What is it he'd say when Brutus made him mad? I've had all I can stands and I can't stands no more. Then he took that spinach and it was on. Amen. We need the Popeye mentality. You ever get sick and tired of getting run over? You know, let's quit comparing ourselves to the giant. Israel compared themselves to the giant. David compared the giant to God. There's a big difference. I know you've heard me say that before. There's a big difference. When I compare myself to a problem, that'll overtake me. But if I compare that to God, there ain't nothing going to overpower God. And when I come in his name, in his presence, David also said, I didn't mean to preach, go to Samuel. David also said that the battle is the Lord's. When I have asked him to come into my heart and I am now his child, it's no longer my battle. You just didn't get that. I said it's no longer my battle. David said the battle is the Lord's. It's his battle. All I got to do is chunk a stone. He'll direct the stone. He'll take it where it needs to go. The phrase he said was, fear not. And it's been often spoken in Luke. And I had some here, but I won't go through them all. But he spoke it to Zechariah. He spoke it to Mary. He spoke it to the shepherds. In Luke 8:50. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. This was to Jairus when Jesus raised his daughter from the dead. And Jesus' words to him was, fear not. Don't be afraid. We're afraid of so many situations. We're afraid of health problems. Death scares us to death. All of these things that we do. And Jesus said, don't be afraid of those things. You might say, preacher, you're crazy. Those things don't last in eternity. Those things are going to be done away with. The Bible says that the last enemy will be destroyed is death. One day it'll be destroyed. And 10 million years from now, we'll forget all about death. Death will have no bearing on us. Cancer will never be mentioned in heaven. Glory, hallelujah. Those things are done away with. I don't have to fear those things because they won't last forever. But I will. Glory, hallelujah. Boy, we ought to be running by now. Praise the name of the Lord. I don't have to fear the things. I don't have to fear Satan. You might say, preacher, you better watch out. But over in the book of Revelation, his funeral is preached. He's cast into the lake of fire for eternity. He'll never mess with me again. Now, he may give me a rough time till then, but I've already won the battle. It's already been written. I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. He's going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Praise the Lord. So I don't need to be afraid of him. Glory. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, and I like it when the angel appeared unto him, and he said, Zacharias, said, fear not, Zacharias. You know, it's common when somebody mentions your name, isn't it? Things can be rough and going on and having a bad time, and then somebody say, Tim, it's going to be all right. It's something common. The angel said, well, I tell you, if your name's written down in glory, God knows your name. He knows you. Even if it's not written down in glory yet, he still knows you. He knows your name. We're not a number to him. My driver's license number is 058484500. I learned I was so tickled to get my driver's license when I was 16. 5838-4500. That's been a long time ago. But I'm not a number in heaven. Praise the Lord. God knows my name. And sometimes he says, Tim, Tim. And then sometimes he says, Tim, don't be afraid. I've got this. Praise the Lord. Isn't he good? See, the Bible says of angels as ministering spirits. Are they not all ministering spirits is what the Bible says. And aren't you glad for the ministering spirits? Hey, we see them in the Bible time and time again ministering to different people, ministering to Jesus. But the angel's message echoes in Genesis 15:1. And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Again, what situation was Abraham in? You remember in Genesis 15, we said that in Sunday school not too long ago. He'd been promised a son. Here he was getting old. God, I don't have that son yet. Things are bleak. Things are dark. What in the world? Am I going to take Ebenezer and make him my heir? And God said, no. Mm-mm. Your heir is going to come out of your bowels. Oh, this way, Abraham. I could just hear it, man. Just hang on, man. I got this. I told you. Amen. That's the way it is in us today. That's the same way it was with Zacharias. It was dark. They had prayed. He said, "It's okay. I can see him looking at me sometimes, saying, Tim, it's all right. I got this." See, this was designed before you was ever thought of. Before the world's foundation of the worlds. The chronicles of my life was written. God knowed every hair on my head then. He does now. They're a lot easier to count now than they used to be. He said, I believe the angel was saying, God has not forgot you. You're still on the forefront of his mind. He still has a plan for your life. I don't care, Zacharias, if you are old, he is still going to use you. He's still going to be and use your family. He's going to give you a boy. And he's going to run before Jesus Christ and prepare the way for the Messiah that's going to be the Savior of the whole world. You just hang on, big guy. God's got some big things in store for you. It's going to be a whole lot better. And don't you worry, and don't you fret, and don't you be afraid. God's got this. Praise the Lord. I believe some of us needs to hear that. See, he said, your prayer has been heard. Man, I like that. The angel said, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And I'll tell you this morning, your prayer's been heard. Every preacher, I've been praying a long time. Just keep praying it. Don't quit. It's been heard. And in God's time, he'll deal with it according to his perfect plan. And his perfect will. And he has got a plan in it. It looked bleak for Martha. Mary and Martha. The brother was gone. It was bleak. There was no hope. Until Jesus said, roll the stone away. Then they really got confused. One of the sisters said, oh, Lord, he's going to stink. Boy, ain't nothing smells good about sin, are they? It does stink. He said, Lazarus, come forth. The crying turned into singing. The mourning into laughter. See that? We allow Jesus to be the Lord of our lives. Everything. See, I've said it more than once. We trust him with the most precious thing that has ever been given to us, our soul. We trust God with the soul. Amen? Why can't we trust him with our little problems? I mean, if he can save a soul, I don't think a late bill's going to be any problem for him. Amen? I don't think a broke-down vehicle would be any trouble at all for him. I don't think losing the job would be earth-shattering for him. It is us, isn't it? He's got this. See, he's heard her prayers. And he said, told Zacharias here, he said, their wife Elizabeth is going to have a son. Now, I won't get into it, but this is way over Zacharias' head. And if you ever want to question God, just read them verses right there. He had a long time to think about it. He said, give me a sign. Okay, I'll give you one. He didn't talk till the baby was born. Amen? Your prayer is heard. You're going to have a son, and his name is John. And John means Yahweh or Jehovah has been gracious. God is good. All the time. All the time. God is good. That's what John's name means. God is gracious. That's the Christmas message. A guy was worked with a little bit, and I was talking to him. And he said, I don't like Christmas specials and stuff, and they talk about everything except what it really means. I said, you ain't never watched Charlie Brown? Well, no. I said, you need to hear Linus on stage when he reads out of Luke chapter 2. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Amen. And this morning, I've rambled on. I hope it's made sense. Come and you'll get the last 2 points of the message tonight. But I want to close this morning with this. God is gracious. His mercy endureth to all generations forever and ever. He is rich in mercy, rich in grace. Wherever you are this morning, I have no idea. Wherever you are, He wants to help you in whatever you're going through. And whatever you're facing. You may be here this morning and say, Preacher, I really don't know if I'm saved. He's the answer. He's the answer to call upon Him. You might say, well, I've been saved, but I'm really not living like I ought to. He's the answer for that too. He's not moved. He's exactly where we left Him. It's like the older man and woman driving down the road in the truck. She was sitting over on passenger side, and she said, you know, when we was young, we sat close to each other, and we'd hold hands, and he said, I ain't moved. God ain't moved. It's us. And it's a short trip back. And there's this, and during the Christmas season and holiday season, everything all in together, is a very discouraging time for a lot of people. A lot of people has, I've heard a statistic that suicide's higher in this time of the year, and especially in this right afterwards. Whatever's bothering you today, I'm going to invite you to bring it to the Lord. And let's not try not to get caught up in all of this hoopla that manufacturers and merchandise places has drummed up to get filthy rich off us. Now, I mean, I love things too, don't get me wrong. But we get caught up in all this mess, and we get caught up, we wind up, I can't remember the date, but there's a way date in the year, next year, that they say it takes most time, that long to pay the Christmas off this year. I want to get you today to thinking not about a big Christmas, Not about big New Year's, not about big gifts, not about what am we going to do, all the parties, all the things, all the tinsel, all the trees, all the presents, all every gift wrap. Oh, Lord, what are we going to do? I want us to get back to the basics and allow Jesus. I want you to see him today as the answer to your problem. Amen. Father, as we come to you, I'm so thankful to be able to call upon you. So thankful, Father, for your word.